I hope and pray that if the Lord tarries his coming, and the next time we have to do something like that, I will think wiser and maybe have somebody come here and at least have the doors open. But we had two phone calls on Wednesday of people looking for a place to go to church. And it just really burdened my heart to have to tell them, I'm sorry. Now I explained to them why we were not having service, but it just was really hard, and it broke my heart to have to tell them that we've canceled our service today, and they were very understanding and things like that, and praise the Lord, both of them were believers and they were visiting in the area, but I just got to thinking about that of how many people. Passed by our building yesterday or on Wednesday and seen the gate closed and no cars and nobody here, and I'm wondering what maybe they thought, and so anyway, as I got to praying about it and I got to thinking about it, I thought we could close for today, but in reality, I didn't want to do that because I always want to keep our doors open. Amen. No matter what, I want to keep them open. And the other thing I got to thinking is, yes, we could cancel the service because of the COVID virus that's going around. But I thought to myself, well, most people, if we cancel church for COVID, they're not going to stay home anyway. They're going to go to work. Now, I know there's other people that did stay home, and honestly, last week I did stay home, except for taking Tammy to the doctor. But they'll go to the grocery store, they'll go here, they'll go there, and they'll get to feel a little bit better and run and go do this and do that errand and that errand. I thought, well, if the only place that we're going to cancel so that they don't get COVID would be church, well, let's just have church anyway. And then I got to thinking, and this is my weird sense of humor, I'm sorry. It's just kind of like, when the kids get chicken pox, you put them all in the bathtub together, all your kids, so you can just get it done and get it over with. And so I thought, well, we'll have service today, so we can just go ahead and get it done and get it over with, get past this and go on. But that's your pastor's weird sense of humor. But I'm glad you're here today, and we're going to look at chapter 23, and in a few moments, I'm going to have Cleo come up, and he's going to read verses 33 through 47, and very seriously, folks, we do need to pray for those who are homesick. There's a few that really need our prayer. And as far as anybody sick really needs our prayer, but they'll recover and not have too many lasting effects of what's been going on. But as I look at things here, and as I presented a message this morning about the first day of the week, and what I wrote down. As a title this morning is the response to revival, and in Luke 24 and on the concerning the resurrection, and what took place that day was the response to the revival that took place 3 days prior. And you say, now wait a minute, revival, I don't recall in the Bible a revival taking place 3 days prior. Yes, the greatest revival in the history of man, and there will be no other greater revival than what took place when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. You say, that's a revival? Yes. It was a revival. And I want to kind of talk with you this morning about some things which might help us explain. Because again, as we prepared for our revival, months into our revival, or months before our revival. There were some things going on behind the scenes. There were some situations that had to be dealt with. There were some uncomfortable things. The devil seemed to be working from many different areas. And even a couple of weeks before the revival, it didn't seem to let up. It seemed to be one thing after another. And the closer and closer the revival got, the more and more and more there seemed to be troubles, there seemed to be problems, there seemed to be situations from every angle. I'll be honest with you folks, there were some times that I looked at my phone and I thought, oh, please, no, not again. Lord, I don't understand. We're preparing, we're getting ready for revival, and I don't want to have to deal with this situation right now. I don't want to have to do this right now. And what I began to realize several months before our revival is the devil launched an all-out attack on Faith Independent Baptist Church. And from every angle, no matter which angle you look at, it was health, it was family, it was sorrow, sadness, and just from every angle, things kept coming. And I shared with some of you all, not the situations, but I shared with you how I felt and getting excited about the revival and the revival service. Because, hey, if what we were doing had got the devil's attention that greatly, where trials and different things were coming in, I thought to myself, man, this is going to be the meeting of meetings at Faith Independent Baptist Church. Well, we got into our meeting, and you know what? The problems didn't stop. They kept coming. All throughout the meeting, it's different situations, different problems, different things coming up. And I got to thinking to myself, you know, Lord, you know, we had this before the revival. Now we're in the revival service, and this is still going on. And we had our last amen, and I explained this morning, and I'll explain it again. We had our last amen, and that's usually when we go home and we say, man, we're finished. Yeah, the revival service is over. We can prop our feet up. We can relax. It's done. Well, much to my surprise, the devil's still at it. He's still at it, and he's still at it as strong and as fervent as he was before, during, and now after. And you know, and I'll be honest with you, I begin to ask the Lord, Lord, what are we doing wrong? Lord, what did we miss? Lord, you know, why hasn't this stopped? And I struggled with it all week. And again, as I shared with you, it was very tough close and not have service on Wednesday. And as things just kept coming from every angle, I just kept thinking in my heart, in my mind, Lord, why? And then for COVID. Or this virus, whatever you want to call it, that is sweeping through our church, and hit us really hard Monday. Why, Lord? Why? You know, this is, you know, and I thought to myself, this is going to discourage people. This is going to cause people to never want to have another revival service. And again, you know, what kind of effect is this situation that we're going through going to have on the revival service that we had? And this morning at 1 o'clock, the Lord woke me up. And he laid upon my heart the resurrection. And I got to going through, and I got to reading all the different accounts in the Gospels about the resurrection. And what the Lord showed me, and as I explained in the Sunday school hour, the resurrection was the result of the revival service. The revival service was the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The result was the resurrection. When Christians, after all that they had been through, after all that they had witnessed, went to the tomb, not understanding, having questions, maybe even discouraged, not knowing how things were going to turn out, they got the message from the Lord. He is not here. He is risen. Amen. And then they got that message, and praise the Lord. They got to go in and they got to examine the tomb, and they got to examine that he wasn't there, and they got spoke to by the angel of the Lord, and even some of the two of the men got spoke to by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But what happened is a rally around God. And the messengers that went to the tomb that morning got an assignment, and that was to go and tell everyone else. But as we look this morning at the revival service, I believe it'll really help us understand why some of the things happened the way they did. And it'll help us out a lot. And if you'll open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. And we're going to I'm going to ask Cleo to come and read Luke 22 verses 33 through 49. And I want to look at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I repeat again, the greatest revival service that has ever taken place in the history of mankind. It was a revival that took place that day. Cleo, why don't you come and read that for us? Luke 23, 33 through 49.
You know, Satan would like this morning, he'd like to slam them doors closed, shut them gates! Chalk this property full of weeds and thistles and silence us. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. That's what he's trying to do a month ago when everything befell every single family in this congregation. We can't let it happen. We did something right, and we're going to keep on doing it. If we got the Holy Spirit, we got to let him shine forth and let Jesus Christ have the victory over what Satan attacks us with. All right. Good morning, brethren, sisters. That was emphatic. Luke chapter 24. 23. 23. All right, there we are. Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 49. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth till the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw that what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things.
Want to share some things with you this morning as we think about what revival is. We've talked about that, and we've talked about revival. Revival is when the saints of the Lord, when the Christians of the Lord, when the believers in Christ get busy and do the will of the Lord. And follow and do the things that God has commanded them to do, and that's what revival is. But before revival can come, there's a price that is paid. And as I got to thinking about our revival and the and as I shared with you the many things that came before and during the revival and then after the revival, I got to thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry. Now again, we could even go back a little bit further than that and all the way back, but we'll start with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the ministry that he set out so that revival could come to man. You know, before the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, there was no hope of revival. There was no hope of things being set straight. There was no hope of getting things right. But you see, there was a great price paid. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we all know the story very well, and we celebrated at Christmas time the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little infant child, all that went through. If you think about it, Mary going to Joseph and having to explain how she was with child. Never being with a man and never being with Joseph. And again, as we think about how difficult that had to be for her to explain that to Joseph. And Joseph being a man and very much in love with the woman that he was about ready to marry, I'm sure there was probably some thoughts in his head that went along like this. Yeah, sure. Okay. I don't know, and again, I'll put it, in kind of, plain terms. He probably said, well, Mary, I'm not so sure about this. We know how this works. And I know I'm not the father, and you're trying to tell me God's the father? Uh-huh. Right. And then we read in the Bible how it says that as he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and comforted him and told him, don't be afraid to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful that Joseph was willing to listen to God. You see, there was a price to pay. There were rumors that would go around. There were things that would be said. There would be some privileges that Joseph would have to put on hold while God worked his plan. There were some inconveniences. And then we know after the Lord Jesus Christ was born and it was prophesied and all the things that took place, and we know that as a small infant child, or I should say a toddler, Herod, afraid of what might take place, decided he was going to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking of all the suffering and all of the things that went on, and again, Joseph being a very wise and smart man, that when the angel of the Lord came to him in the night and told him, you know, rise up and take the young child and flee unto Egypt. You know, there was a lot of sorrow even wrapped around that, not with the Lord Jesus Christ, but think about all the death in Bethlehem and the surrounding area because of an evil man plotting against God to stop and to kill the King of the Jews, to kill the Savior of the world. And then as I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and growing up and then coming into his ministry, going about each area doing good. And how many times do we read that as he went and he sat down, and even though he confounded the religious rulers and they just kind of wondered how that he knew what he knew, it all came out to always be the same thing. How many times did they sought to kill him? You know, how many times did they grab him? And the Bible says that that he just vanished in their midst, because it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time for him to be killed. And then I think of the Lord Jesus Christ as he gets ready and he begins to prepare his disciples. And he begins to explain to his disciples that he's going to be arrested and that he's going to stand trial and that he's going to be crucified and he's going to be buried and he's going to rise again. But you know, the disciples, being men like us, didn't quite comprehend what God was doing. Didn't quite understand, what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. And I'm sure probably in their mind they were figuring, well, we know he's the Messiah. We know he's the King of Israel. And, maybe this is a type. You know, maybe he's just kind of giving us another parable. Maybe he's just kind of letting us know that, you know, some type, and we need to learn something from this. But, you know, they really just didn't catch it. Even all the way up until it all started. And the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, tried, and nailed to a cross. And as I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he was doing to prepare and be ready. You see, again, we've talked about this before. There's times in life. You say, well, you know, many times we say, well, I wished I'd lived in the day of the Bible. You know, where I could have been sitting there on the mountainside and participated and got some of the fish and the loaves. I wished I could have been on, you know, with the disciples in the storm, as they saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking and hearing him by the speaking of his voice calm the storm. and all of the wonderful miracles to be able to witness, you know, a lady in a group of crowded people that just knew that if she went and touched the hem of his garment, she would be healed. And as the Lord Jesus Christ turns around and looks at her, and identifying her out of a whole group of people, and the disciples later saying, there's many that touched you. And witnessing all of that, you know, it wasn't our time. You know, it wasn't our time to be in the time of the Bible. You know, and in some ways, that's good. Because see, in the time of the Bible, they had the spoken word of God in Jesus' day. In the Old Testament, they had the Old Testament prophets. But you know, they got it in bits and pieces and coming. You know, I thank the Lord for the day that I live in, because I don't have bits and pieces of God's word. I have a completed copy of God's word. I don't have to kind of scratch my head and try to figure out, okay, what's next? I know what's next. I don't have to wonder, Jesus said he was going to die, and he was going to be arrested, and he was going to be crucified, and he was going to be on trial. How can this be? How can all that come to be and him be the king of Israel? You know, I don't have to wonder that, because I know how it's going to be done. You know, and in that aspect, I'm glad I didn't live in the time of the Bible. But the Lord Jesus Christ has us in this time. And what's amazing as you think about it, in the Old Testament times, what God was doing, there were the Old Testament prophets. There were the books of the law. In that time, for what they needed to do, you know what God did? God provided for them all that they needed to do what they needed to do. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth and he became the spoken word of God on the earth, and he walked around with the disciples, he provided everything during that time period that the disciples would need and know and have in order to do the work that he had for them. And praise the Lord, he's never failed us. In today's time, in the church age, God has equipped and given us everything that we need to do the job in the time that he has placed us. I mean, think about what we have. We have the completed word of God. From Genesis to Revelations, we know how it started and we know how it ends. We not only have the completed word of God, we have the Holy Spirit of God. Not the Holy Spirit of God that's working from without. We have the Holy Spirit of God that is working from within. You see, the disciples and the Old Testament prophets, the Holy Spirit worked, but he worked from without. It wasn't until the book of Acts, when Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down and indwells. And there is no place or nothing that can happen, or no place that I can go where I will not be without the Holy Spirit of God. And the power of God to accomplish the goal of God in anything that I need, that he has instructed me to do. It's amazing. I mean, it's wonderful if you think about it. But in the day of the Bible here, there's a revival service going on. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's working the ministry that God has given him. He's doing what the Father wants him to do. And it's in the final days of his ministry. And in the final days of his ministry and the things that God wanted him to do, it didn't look so well. You know, humanly speaking, if you would look at it, it really wasn't working out to plan. And let's look at some things here. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the ministry that he had, he was arrested, he was put on the cross, and he was hanging there. There was a lot of things going on that day. Not only being hung on the cross, but as he was hanging there on the cross, there were some men that were going by, as the Bible says, and they were wagging their heads. You know, they were doing this. Ha. Look at him. Ha. King of the Jews. He said he's the Son of God. Look at him up there. He can't even help himself. Yeah, he healed others. He raised others from the dead, but look at him. Look at him hang up there. You know, they mocked. They were making fun of the accomplishments of his ministry. You know, if we're not careful, there's people that are going to mock Faith Independent Baptist Church. They're going to mock the accomplishments of Faith Independent Baptist Church. They're going to point their finger and they're going to say, well, look at them. Had a revival service. Serves them right. They bragged about not getting the first round of COVID. Serves them right that they got COVID last week. You know, there's some people mocking. But you know what? God's not finished yet. God's not finished yet. You know, as they were mocking the Lord Jesus Christ and wagging their heads and saying, well, you know, he can help others, he can heal others, but he can't even do anything for himself. You know, as the Lord Jesus Christ hung there on the cross, and on either side of him there were thieves. People who deserved to be there and to die and to suffer for what they'd done. Very interesting ministry. Hanging on the cross. not the best of time to be concerned about what's going on around him. But yet, as one thief on the left was more concerned about getting down off the cross and continuing on with what he was doing, trying to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ to take him down off the cross so he could go and so he could continue in the sinful lifestyle that he was accustomed to and they wanted. You know why he wanted Jesus to bring him down off the cross, the thief on the left? Not so that he could repent, not so that he could believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted deliverance from his current circumstance so he could continue in the same sinful life that he desired and wanted. You know what? I dare say there's probably some folks that attended our revival meeting that what they wanted out of it was temporary deliverance. You know, they wanted out of it just you know, I'll go through the motions here and I'll do this so I can continue as I always have. And you know what? They have. They have. They got a little bit of touch. You know, they got a little bit of excitement. They got a little bit of joy, but their week, their life hasn't changed and not going to change. But you know, there was a thief on the right who rebuked the thief on the left and said, wait a minute. You don't understand. We deserve to be here. Thief on the right come right out and said, hey, I deserve to spend eternity in hell. What I've done, where I've been, the things that I've been involved in, I deserve to be here. God, will you have mercy on me? Jesus, will you remember me? Is there room for me, Jesus, in your kingdom? You know, I praise the Lord. We had a young lady during our revival. Everything that happened before the revival, everything that was going on during the revival and all the way through the revival, and everything that's still going on. You know what? There was a little girl who said, I want something different. I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. I want what Jesus has for me. I don't want to continue. You know, I really believe with all my heart there's going to be some more of those. When we rejoice about what God did in our revival and we begin to tell people on the outside, when we begin to tell those who missed, when we begin to tell those brothers and sisters in Christ that are discouraged and thinking, well, you know, there's no use. Why do we continue on? Why do we continue in the church? Because, you know, we had a revival and we had a speaker come in and, you know, we had a good time and we came forward and we made commitments. But for what? I thank the Lord for the one young lady. It was worth every bit. And even if it continues, it was worth every bit to see one young lady walk the aisle. But you know what? I don't believe for a minute that God is finished. I don't believe for a minute that God is done working on Faith Independent Baptist Church. You know why I don't believe that? Because the devil hasn't gotten his easy chair.
That's right.
He's still working.
Yeah.
And he's still working hard. He's still working on causing division. He's still working on causing separation. He's still working on trying to get us to be discouraged. You know, I think of Job in the Bible. You know, Job's first round, God told the devil, you can take all that he has, but you can't touch his flesh. And the Bible says in all of that, Job charged not God foolishly. Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked I'll go. You know what? There's some that decided, hey, gone? All right, so what? You take everything I got. I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to praise your name. I'm still going to continue on. Devil came back. God said, okay, Job, you can touch his flesh now, but you can't take his life. And Job chapter 2 is where Job was smote with boils from head to toe. For days, sick, pain, scraping the sores, and sitting out there weeping and begging for begging for mercy, and is sore, and even his friends coming up and his friends turning against him, and his own wife coming up and saying, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just get it over with?" What Job saw was something better. What Job knew is his relationship with God was more important than his very existence in life. And he was willing, if that's what God wanted, that's what he was willing to give. You know, our revival service, there's some that are willing to give it all. And I really believe what was happening, what's been happening this week is God testing us just like he tested Job. And the test isn't for God, because God knows how you're going to respond. God knows whether you're going to say, "Forget it. I don't want no more of that." If that's what revival is, if that's all God's got, I'm not interested. But God's not finished. You know what God's doing? God's testing us so that we know where we stand with God. So that we know where we need to build up, ensure. You know what this week has caused me to do? Run to God. Amen. Get closer to God. Amen. And ask God, "God, show me and help me understand." You know, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what drew me to his death on the cross is in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 50. Verse number 50, it says, "When he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." You know, what the Lord Jesus Christ was going through on the cross was painful. It was costly. And it caused him to cry out. In the Word of God, and the Bible says, and when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. You see, what Jesus knew is, in order for revival to come for Faith Independent Baptist Church, it was going to cost him his life. You know, in order for revival to come in your life, what's it costing you? Now, some of you might say, "I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Ain't costing me nothing." Are you going back to the same thing, to the same way, to the same life, to the same everything before the revival? You say, "Well, no, you know, a preacher, I come up here and I made a commitment." You know what the devil's trying to do this week? The devil's trying to take that commitment away from you. He's trying to get you to question. He's trying to get you to say, "Oh, you know, God really didn't mean that." Well, after all, God don't want you to suffer. You know, there's reward in suffering. There's reward in suffering. In Mark chapter 15, in verse number 36, it says, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost." Luke chapter 23 and verse number 46, it says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost." You know what Jesus did on the cross? The Bible says when he cried aloud with a loud voice, he said, "Father." He cried out to God. He cried out to his heavenly Father. And he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." You know what he said? "Father, whatever it takes, I'm yours. And if it means death for your will to be done, then I commend my spirit into your hands, into thy hands." And the Bible says he yielded up the ghost. You know, this week, last week, we made some decisions. Some of us, we come up to the altar and we prayed. And we made some commitments to God. And what we said is, "God, okay, here I am, whatever it takes." You know what the devil's trying to do? The devil's trying to take it away. The devil's trying to get you to go back on what you promised God. What I want to encourage you to do is die. Die. Don't go back. Follow through. Do whatever God says. And in verse number 19, John 19 and verse number 30, the Bible says, "And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." You know when revival will come? You know when revival will come in your life? When you receive the vinegar. When you yield to God and you receive the vinegar. Death is bitter. Serving the Lord is not peaches and cream. Serving the Lord is going to cost you. Serving the Lord is going to cause you to move from where you are to where he wants you to be. You say, "Well, I don't know that I want that. I don't know that I want the bitter vinegar. I don't know that I want to taste that." You know what I encourage you to do? Run to the Lord and say, "God, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Don't let the devil steal what God is doing in your heart and your life. Amen. You know what's going to cause revival in Faith Independent Baptist Church? Is when we that have made decisions for God, and those decisions are tried and tested, and we go about and we say, "I am going to follow him." As long as you keep holding out on God, as long as you keep keeping to yourself those things that you hold precious, revival will never come. Your life will never change. And you'll continue being as miserable as you are. The only way out is to commend your spirit to the Lord. Don't let the devil steal what God has for you. Because Come the first day of the week, there's a resurrection. Amen. There's life. There's joy, and there's victory, and there's great things to come. You know, I can't explain, and I would that some of it hadn't happened, didn't happen, and it's not going to happen. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust God. Okay, God. I don't understand. I may not even enjoy it, but I have joy. I have peace because I'm going to commend my spirit to you and I'm going to die so that you can live. Revival is a yielded spirit and a joyful message to the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for those who have come. Lord, I thank you for those who have tuned in. And Lord, it's an interesting Sunday. No piano player. Small group. All of us have voices that are hoarse and sniffles and coughs. And Lord, if we look at it and look at it through human eyes, we'll get discouraged. We'll think, God, you know, this ain't revival. But it is. But it is. Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing me in the midst of darkness that you're still in control, that you still have for me things that you want from me. And Lord, help me to yield them to you. Lord, help me to be willing to say whatever it takes in my life. And Lord, help me to be willing to yield that. Now, Father, we do pray for those who could not be with us today, Lord, due to illness. Lord, there's quite a few. And Lord, I pray that you would just enter into their room. Lord, I pray that you'd enter into their home. Lord, I pray that you'd put your hand upon them and you'd make them feel better. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to for this to pass through us. And Lord, so that we can get on to what you have for us. And Lord, we'll love and thank you for it. Now we pray that you'd bless during this time. In your name we pray. Amen.